Blog Talk Radio. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Lynn Yancha, Century Health Talk here, co-host. Well, I'm actually going to be the co-host, and Aaron Kester is going to be taking over today's talk with our guest. Hey, Aaron, how are you doing?
Great. How are you, Lynn?
Not too bad. A little bit on the anxious side. This is the first time actually we're having, a featured guest on the show. And he's a friend of yours.
Yeah. Our guest today, as you know, is Mr. Isaac Ho. He's been a friend of mine for, I think it's 3 years now. A little over 3 years, actually. And I met him while I was in massage school. I started going to the gym. And I met him at LA Fitness. He was a personal trainer there. And I met him through my sister. She was taking some... He's using his services at the gym, and I got to know him through her, and then started asking if he was willing to trade services with me, because I had just started with massage, right?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we all know massage is a very good trade item.
Yes, indeed.
So, we started, and he started, and basically I worked with him when he would do his workouts from the beginning. And then since then, he's gone on to open his own gym within these last few years. And I've been a part of all of it, and it's been absolutely fantastic. He's a very, very great person.
Well, just from the text messages that we were going back and forth, getting ready for the show, we got into other kind of business-like conversations and chat. So I'm really interested in asking him some questions as far as, because of the fact that he's in the fitness training kind of deal, in which we, our profession is kind of like overlap. He puts them to work and we try to resuscitate them in a sense. So they can do the work over again.
He doesn't mess up completely, but he does rip up their tissue, and then we rip it up some more.
Well, we try to heal it, of course. So, do you have anything for us today as far as something funny?
Well, for some humor to start off, I guess it's not really funny. It's more just weird.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or things that are very interesting to know about our bodies, since this is what we'll be, this is both of our professions here, both our guest and us as massage therapists.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to know that your left lung is smaller than your right lung.
Oh, I wonder why.
And this is actually to make room for your heart.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Okay, good to know.
It's very important that our heart has space, because we need to be able to pump all that air that those two lungs bring in.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're gonna collapse a lung, the left is okay. I don't know.
No, probably not the best thing, either one. And as we know, sometimes in massage we'll be drooling a lot, right? And mm-hmm. we kind of, during a workout with Isaac, I've noticed that when I'm trying to breathe, I'll be spitting at the same time. So here's another fact that's interesting. The average human produces a quart of saliva a day, or 10,000 gallons in a lifetime. It's probably Ooh. Increased how much when we start working out and we start getting massages. I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess body size, too.
And how much we drink water. So we need to get that number up.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so let's go ahead and get Isaac online here. And hey, Isaac, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Lynn, doing fantastic, thank you.
Oh, wonderful. So you just basically sounds like you just started the your business just recently, just in the first couple of years.
Actually, this will be my second year coming up here, I would believe, in about February or March.
Oh, wow. Wow. Doing great already in the second year. Usually that's when people are starting to see actually, getting closer to the black is what they're saying.
No, luckily I've been very, very blessed, and I've got great clients and I've got great mentors, so definitely did not see any black either this year or last year.
Okay. What I meant was black as in actually in the positive, not in the negative. Reds is, you know.
Oh, okay. Not
yeah,
bad.
That's I'm sorry. I'm speaking in the terms that I see, because everybody turns black red as far as the red is. You don't want to be in the red because that's in the negatives. So accounting thing. So okay, let's see here. Hey, Aaron, go ahead and sort of take over here, and I'm going to just kind of listen in and see if I have any questions. But for those of you who are listening in, the call-in number to ask your questions probably a little later on is 347-677-0699 is the call-in number with your questions or anything that you want to learn about Isaac as far as his business, as a fitness trainer, and so on and so forth. And it sounds also that the bio that you sent me, you were also an author. So, okay, call in number 347-677-0699. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. So, like I said, I met Isaac at iFitness. His son, he's opened his own gym. I've gotten to know him pretty well, and he's become a very, very good friend. Really has gotten fitness and health has increased. Because, I mean, I started massage school and I had an interest in it, but he has really propelled it with everything he's done in my life. So to start off, Isaac, why don't you tell us about you just a little bit. Maybe about have you started with what interested you in the medical or the health profession, I should say.
Okay. Well, first of all, I started personal training studying for my cert when I was 17 years old. And, most 17-year-olds have no idea what they're going to do. And now I'm 24, so I guess it's been about 7 years now. And absolutely just fell in love with it. And originally, I got into it because I wanted to compete for kickboxing. Kickboxing and martial arts was really the only sport / athletic activity I really wanted to do. I had never exercised before growing up, and I was overweight. In fact, actually today, I had someone give me a massage in massage school, and they were like, "Are those stretch marks on your back?" And I was like, "Yeah, I used to be, quite huge, so I have stretch marks on my back." And he was like, "Wow." So, exercise for me wasn't a great relationship, and eating well wasn't, so being able to get into it and think about, like, wow, I could really help other people make the change that I didn't make through middle school and high school until later was quite rewarding for me. When it comes to health versus fitness, like you said, I started meeting you at LA Fitness, and most people kind of, they really don't know what to expect from massage. One, it's very personal because you got somebody touching you that you really don't know. In fact, I was having a talk with one of my clients today, and she was telling me how she did a couples massage for her first massage ever with her husband. And they put her husband right next to her, and then she got the male and he got the female. And she felt really awkward. She didn't know what to do with her hands or her body at all. And the same kind of thing for me. When I first got a couple massages, I wasn't quite sure, like, what was going on. And I was thinking, like, oh, massage is for relaxation and, like, you know what, I can find different ways to relax without having to open myself up and take my clothes off. So when you first offered me massage, I was like, oh, I don't think I'm too interested. But, I wanted to help you out, so I was like, let's work out. And I remember it got to a point where I actually went up to train with Luca Hosovar, one of my mentors up in Brenton, and we started doing a lot of heavy presses, which I hadn't done too much
of before, and I started to get this really bad elbow joint pain to a point where I almost couldn't work out anymore. And I had one massage therapy session with you, and it completely took away my joint pain. And that was really the biggest eye-opener for me, where I always knew that soft tissue work and foam rolling and the things that we do by ourselves, you know, really help our clients. But having someone who is really skilled as a practitioner like you work on my triceps and forearms and break up that elbow pain that I had was really eye-opening for me.
Okay.
I remember that. I remember working on your those specific muscles when you were starting to lift.
Yeah, that wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. We started to dig into it.
Yeah,
the massage
I do isn't always the most relaxing.
No, it's not always, but I think that, you know, when you really talk about, like, fitness versus health, and as a fitness trainer, it's like I have all these people that come to me, and of course they want to, you know, they want to look better and they want to lose this weight, and they have their own personal reasons, but at the end of the day, it's how you feel when you wake up. Like, they talk about the neutral zone and the lack of pain and the lack of, I mean, health really is like lack of death. So if you are super fit, like, oh, you can do all these exercises, but you have all this back pain, you have all this elbow pain, you're not really living a healthy life. So looking at it, it was, you know, I wanted to learn how I could help people just be more healthy, period. And like we always say at the big picture gym, it's nutrition is going to be more important than fitness, right? Because a lot of people haven't worked out in a long time, but everybody ate something today, right? Or I hope you ate something today. And then on the other aspect, it's how is the health of your tissue and your joints, and working with healthcare practitioners like yourself and Lynn when it comes to soft tissue quality and taking stress off the tendons and ligaments. It's really important, and most people, you know, kind of undervalue it.
That's true. You're saying you're going into the idea of nutrition or into nutrition, and with unfortunate for massage therapists, we are a little bit limited on what we can tell our clients to do. So we can't really we're not really allowed to tell them what kind of exercises they can do, and we're not allowed to give them a nutrition set or give them ideas on what they can eat. It's pretty tricky on how we can do that, but you're able to do that.
You know what? Technically, from my scope of practice, I can make suggestions for nutrition and things like that, but I'm not a dietitian. And for example, like, I'm going to massage school right now, and I want to do some soft tissue work with my clients, but I would rather much refer them to a soft tissue specialist like you or Lynn, to really take the in-depth time and work with them on soft tissue quality. And when it comes to nutrition, I have several dietitians that train with me, and they're wonderful, wonderful people, and they come to me for exercise, but I would always defer to them for nutrition before I would say, hey, you know, here's what I have. So really it's kind of like how do you base these different things, such as soft tissue for me as a business owner? How do I take soft tissue? How do I take nutrition? How do I take these things and apply it in a way that's going to benefit my clients most and what they're looking for? But, of course, realizing that there are specialists out there who can offer them more in that area and, you know, and making it accessible for them, because you can't be the best at everything.
No, we do try.
No, we do try. I mean, that's my glaring fault. I'm like, oh, I want to do all this. And part of it sometimes works, but, for example, I have a client, and she's a dietitian, and I think it's 4 or 5 vials of blood she can take, and she can get a very detailed lab write-up for you on everything from the way your insulin response is to your hormones and how you process carbohydrates. And there's no way I could ever do that or ever know. And so part of it is just as a fitness practitioner is humbling myself and knowing what I've got and what I can do well. And there's a big push towards, which is funny because as a massage student, I was looking at the history of massage therapists, and there was a point where massage therapy kind of died out in America, I think around the 1950s or 1970s, because of the push for athletic trainers. And athletic trainers had less interest in massage therapy and more interest in physical therapy. So there was kind of this surge where athletic trainers were learning from physical therapists, and not so much from soft tissue therapists. And then there was kind of a resurgence. So
people kind of pull, one minute it's like physical therapy is the big thing, and one minute it's like, oh, let's all make ourselves like dietitians, and so there's always this swing in what people are learning, and one of my mentors, Martin Rooney, actually has this doctorate in physical therapy, but he trains the top combine athletes and the top MMA fighters, and if someone's hurt, he doesn't even mess with it. He actually sends them to a physical therapist, and once I heard that, I really realized, like, hey, you know what, you've got to pick something, and even someone who has a doctorate in physical therapy who is not going to step aside and say, like, okay, let me fix this shoulder problem you might have, he refers them out, and I think it's smart, and it creates a good network of people that you can refer to. I have friends that are chiropractors and physical therapists, and I would always refer to them because that's their specialty, and I would hope they would refer to me if it came to, you know, helping someone just get better shape.
Yeah, it seems like it's much more effective to have a specialty and then refer somebody to somebody else. Even if you know some about it, you want to give them the best.
Yeah, and, you know, you might just, it really helps to, for example, I might look at someone's soft tissue, you know, a year from now and say, okay, let me try this for about 5 minutes. And then be like, okay, if this isn't working, you need more work, I'm just going to refer you to Aaron or Lynn because that's really their specialty compared to me. You know, I know it a little bit, but it's not my life. You know, it's like, what is someone really, really passionate about, and what do they absolutely love, and what have they invested that 10,000 hours to be an expert into? Like, you've been practicing for 3 years, and I know some days you were giving, you know, probably like 6 to 8 massages. You know, even if I went to school and started practicing, I'd still have 2-3 years of 6 to 8 hours a day to catch up with you, and it's just not going to happen right away. So having someone who is really an expert, it's going to make you look great when you refer them.
I've actually come up with that philosophy that if you really care about your clients and you definitely want to have a good team for them to refer to, and not just one person, because you can't possibly answer all their questions or be everything for them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Burger King can come out with the most amazing dessert ever. There's no way they're ever going to be Dairy Queen in dessert. I mean, you can't be everything to everyone, okay? And most people just try. I mean, you know, Krispy Kreme has soft serve, and I go to Krispy Kreme for their vanilla ice cream. Some people go to Krispy Kreme for their donuts. I love their vanilla ice cream. They have a huge blow-up vanilla ice cream on top of their store. But most people have no idea that they serve vanilla ice cream because it's not really, you know, what they're about. It's like, it makes no sense. Why does Krispy Kreme serve vanilla ice cream? It's like, you want vanilla ice cream with your donuts? So it's really like, what are you? So when people come to me, I don't expect them to come and say, man, it'd be really great if you could just make me sweat, make me tired, and I could lay on a massage table while you press into me. You know, it's not what I'm trying to do. And I'm sure at the same time you're probably not thinking, well, let me relax my client and then take them through a workout. So it's, you know, it's really what is your core value. And, like, our core value is life-changing fitness results. That's what the Me Be Fit Tacoma is all about, and building this family that is working towards having these life-changing fitness results. And anything that covers that umbrella is part of that. But at the same time, I really have to ask myself when I do things, is this going to help my client get life-changing fitness results? If there's even a small aspect of it that's not going to, then I don't adopt it into my business.
Okay. Hey, I do have a question that just popped in my head. As a, say, for instance, a client coming in and they're kind of unsure what to do, but they do want to have a better better health, better outlook in life, better everything as far as eating habits, weight loss, and all that stuff, but they've never actually been in a gym before. Because I know of people that actually would love to do that, but they have a body image problem. I know that you and, you know, some other fitness trainers who are really into helping their clients can help them. How do you go about breaking that barrier of self-image problem?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lynn. We have a lot of different clients that come into our facility. We're a small facility, about 2,400 square feet, and so people come in and, you know, even people like in the small classes, 6 to 8 people, can still be very self-conscious about what's going on. So the first thing I would say is if you do plan on working with a trainer, probably not going to pick one at a commercial gym just because it's not like, okay, we got 16 people and we're all working out together. It's like I've got, you know, 50 people and I've got fox on the top of the treadmill watching me, right? And I've got the lady on the adductor machine who's squeezing her legs together just keeps staring at me. And so it's probably not the best environment ever. I'm not a big fan of these big commercial gyms. But at the same time, I can say that even a personal training environment, coming in and thinking like, wow, everyone's in better shape than me, sometimes one-on-one training is really the best. And I mean, at the same time, there's kind of a push away from it in the industry, but I can totally understand where one-on-one training makes sense. At the same time, it really comes down to evaluating, is it really the exercise in your life, or is it the nutrition and the way that you tend to think? So if I said, like, hey, I feel really self-conscious, you know, I feel for people like that because I was really self-conscious about my body image. And even now, like, you know, I don't have the best body image, but there are times where I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not sure I want to take my shirt off here. I mean, you can go anywhere, and there's not always a chance that, especially at training conventions, that you're going to be in the best shape. So body image is one of those things where it's probably more an emotionally rooted problem. And we have a client, or, you know, we've been very blessed to get very, very smart people at our gym, and we have someone interning with us, and Melissa, and she's actually not only a life coach training, but at the same time, she's lost over 100-something pounds. And, man, the first thing I would do is, instead of saying, like, let me start exercising, let me do all these things, it's part of a big, big picture. And I know you understand that being a holistic practitioner. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I would say is find someone who can really click with you and understand where you're coming from, and not just change, like, hey, let's make you sore, but how can we actually change your life? How can we change the things that are going to make you happy? So, for example, someone says, like, I want to come in and lose weight. The real question is, why do you want to lose weight? And it's because I feel more confident about myself. And last season we had a body transformation, and the lady told me, hey, she had come in for orientation, and she said, when, you know, I want to feel better about myself. And I said, how do you know you feel bad in the first place? And she said, it's because when I wake up every morning, the first thing I do is put a sweater on because I don't want anyone to see what I look like underneath. So if you lost 50 pounds and you still didn't feel good enough to walk outside without that sweater on, nothing about your life changed. And I think that's what people don't understand about fitness, is fitness is a means to an end, and fitness is this invisible concept. Like, well, you know, what's fit? I always tell everyone that comes to my facility, is it doing lunges down the parking lot with 50-pound dumbbells in each hand, or is it running 50 miles, right? No one can really define what fitness is. So fitness is really what you want to get out of it for your life, is the value of it. So the moment she can take that sweater off is the moment that she really reached her goal. And she did that, and she took first place in our body transformation contest last time, and I'm super proud of her. But at the same time, really, you know, if I hadn't sat down there and really communicated with her the importance of that, all the exercise she could have done and everything really doesn't make much of a difference. So number one, being honest with yourself before you even think about stepping foot into a gym, you know, maybe you want to look for a coach. You know, I always tell my trainers, don't be a trainer, be a coach. And this is something that one of my mentors taught me. Because a trainer can just throw exercises. Anyone can be a trainer. But a coach really gets into your head and looks at you as a whole person, motivates you when you're not feeling, you know, 100%. And it's a lot more than just, you know, let me get into a gym and let me do some exercises. I have a client named Weasel, and she's lost a great amount of weight too. And before she even got into BeFit with me, she had lost a lot of weight. And man, she just started walking with 2-pound dumbbells. And I'll tell you, having dedication and commitment to whatever you're doing is better than half-assing anything that might be the best program in the world. It's as simple as that. And just having confidence in what you're doing and realizing it's a big picture change and finding someone that really clicks with you is really an important thing. Weight Watchers is not the most impressive system I've ever seen, but it works because you have that support, and hopefully they get to the deeper root of things. But that's my best advice for you. Long answer, sorry.
Oh, no, it's just fine. The thing is that if a person does come in into your gym, how does one know that they actually click with somebody in there? I mean, they have to talk, there's got to be a time frame in which they kind of feel, you know, more at ease, and so on and so forth, and they can't possibly be meeting every single fitness trainer to figure out, oh, I like her better.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great question. So
Have you noticed that with us, we even have the same issue sometimes. If people come in, or somebody that hasn't got a massage before, they'll think the same thing. You know, they have the same insecurities and don't want to get a massage table. I've had these clients before.
Okay, so I'm going to teach you a lesson that cost me probably $4,000 or $5,000. because I paid a business coach about $1,000 a month. So you have to understand,
wow,
like, I know nothing about business, and I'm just 100%, I just want to be a trainer. So to me, like, I love training so much that I'll learn as much business as I need to make it work. So one thing that I was under the pressure, and, like, I go into Emerald City Smoothies, and most people kind of, like, go in and they think, well, I'm going to get a smoothie. Well, like, I went to the one at Federal Way, and the place looked like it was in the 90s, but I tell you, they had some good ideas. Like, they could redo their menus, but the way they were kind of getting people to come in and everything kind of make a big impact on how I perceive things. So, like, Luca Hosovar, my current business coach, is really, really smart about just looking at everything as business. And the first thing my business coach did before I even got, like, on his coaching program, was he set up a coaching call for me to get on with him and just talk to him about where I was and kind of pre-qualified me to make sure I was a good fit for his coaching program.
Okay.
And that's what I do, and I attempt to do to my best. The problem is people, they want fitness and they want it yesterday. They think, oh, you got a free week trial, let me come in. Probably, like, if you say, hey, we got our first massage for $50, and after that it's $65 or something, they're going to say, okay, let me come in and let me do this massage. I just want to see if it's a good massage. You know, I just want my massage. The problem is, and I've done it before, where I let people come in, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But unless I get on the phone and I really talk to this person about why they need this massage so badly, and if they're a good fit for me and I'm a good fit for them, a lot of the times it's kind of like, you know, they can't tell the difference between my facility and any other facility. So I really love to just sit down and take the time. And I tell people it's going to be fast, 10 to 15 minutes. But I've spent up to an hour just talking to people on the phone and just really getting to know, okay, tell me about yourself. What have you tried before? What works well for you? I want this person to know me, and I want to get to know them so there's this understanding, because they say, you know, a sale doesn't happen after, you know, you collect your money. It's really every second after. And I want to let them know that, like, hey, you know, you're important to me, and I really want to understand about you. And when they come in and see me, like, I always tell them, hey, it's so great to be able to match this space to the voice and know the person and really understand them. And I believe that's a huge part of it. And I'm not the only coach at my gym. In fact, because of school and everything, I've been coaching less. In a perfect world, I would be like, oh, I coach two classes a week. You know, maybe all my clients would just come and see me. But no, they come and see the other coaches too, and that's great because, you know, my personality doesn't necessarily click. And this is something I always talk about at my team training, is that I love all our coaches because we're all so different. And the variety of our coaches just gives some people say, man, I absolutely love, like, Laura. Like, Laura is so awesome, and I can't believe there are times where I'm working out, and, man, if Laura's running class, like, I'm like, man, this is just what I needed. I just need some Laura to help me feel better. And other times it's like Carol. You know, Carol does a great job, and people always say, man, Carol's so nice. So every coach is different, but from a business point of view, I would always say, yes, you're probably going to lose some customers doing it, but pre-qualify to make sure you don't waste your time.
I do that too when I don't call it pre-qualification, I call it an interview. And I also suggest that they interview me by turning the question, do you have any questions for me? is there anything that else that we want to know? And it's also trying to figure out what they need, if we can actually provide the kind of massages that they are looking for. Some people, they see massage and they assume it's a spa. So we have to explain to them, we don't do spa. So we also have our, you know, our kind of like interview process over the phone, or sometimes in person, if we're meeting them in person, and see if it's a fit. And that's the reason why I think we have longevity with our clients.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it sounds like you're doing a lot of things right, if you're doing that already. You know, it's important to differentiate because, yeah, if you don't do spa, it's probably it might not be what they're looking for. And there's nothing worse. Like, I have clients come in, and if they ask me, like, where are the machines, and I knew that I probably did something wrong, right? So
yeah.
I have videos up on my website, and they can clearly see there are no machines here. People are just, I mean, honestly, people are picking up sandbags and doing exercises, and people are sweating and working hard, and people are talking about the great results they got. And, you know, that's exactly what you can expect at my facility. I'm not going to ever communicate a message that is not me. And though some of my photos may be a little bit cheesy, and I probably need to update them, you know, I try to be 100% to the core who I am. And that's one reason I blog so much, because, yeah, maybe my blog doesn't appeal to everyone, but the people that it does appeal to are the people that I want to service. And, I mean, I think Tacoma is the second largest city in the state of Washington,
And that's huge. And there's so many people in my area, and I don't expect to service them, and I don't expect to service everyone and be a great fit for everyone. In a perfect world, yeah, they'd all love me. But I'd rather have a core of a group of people that really love what I do, understand what I do, and are passionate about it like I am, and have them be part of my BFish family than to take a bunch of people that sort of like my program and, you know, decided that they were going to do it, and every day they kind of grumble a little bit. You know, I'm looking for those loyal, raving fans, and just like any massage business, it's a continuity business. So, like, for example, Netflix is a continuity business. You pay every month, and they bank on that. And massage, that a lot of times cannot be a continuity business because people are, oh, I'm in pain right now. Let me give my massage. Oh, pain's gone. Great. I don't need to come back anymore, right? So it's like,
yeah,
maybe some months you have a great month, some months you don't. Fortunately for me, and one thing I love about fitness is, like, most people realize, like, hey, if I stop working out, like, I'm going to gain all this weight back. And we have a body transformation contest coming up, and my whole thing is, like, I don't want you to gain that weight back. I want you to do better after you work with me than ever. My goal, you know, really, if I had the ability to, is to teach every one of my clients to be more knowledgeable than 90% of trainers out there, because fitness is such a confusing field, and I want to really empower my clients so they know what to do. And, like, one of my newer trainers, Kyung, was talking to me, and she said, how do you – you don't expect all your clients to train with you forever. And I said, let me put it this way. I don't expect all of my clients to ever be as smart as me because if they caught up to me in fitness, it means I'm just not doing my job and being passionate. And this is what I do. This is what you hired me for. But at the same time, I would expect you to be able to take care of yourself just fine without me because I've given you the right community. And it's like giving someone a fish versus giving them a fishing rod. In massage, it's a little bit different because you have these people that are coming in. And, yes, maybe they might be able to self-massage or do something or take better care of themselves. But having a strong relationship, having a strong customer service system, and just being someone that they love to be around all the time is really the key to your business. That's the best advice I could give you from
Well,
from
sounds like we're doing about the same thing.
Exactly. So maybe I should move up to Renton, and then I'll just move my studio next to yours, and then
we can just build
a little door.
That would be so awesome, actually, because I like to surround myself with a lot of positive people, and it actually I've noticed also with some of the other the previous episodes that we've done on this Century Health Talk. I'm finding out when you're happy, even when you're sad, you just need to smile and all the happy hormones will kind of start, producing to make you feel better, even when you feel really bad. And finding out that when you help someone who is not doing so well, volunteering, putting yourself out there to help somebody else outside of yourself, forgetting about your woes, actually has shown in some studies to add years to someone's life.
Oh, yeah,
so,
definitely getting those endorphins.
Exactly. And that's what you and I do. You put them in pain so that the endorphins will start kicking in. We put them in enough pain so that also the endorphins start kicking in. And it's the best, pain reliever that you can get that's not all over the counter.
No, actually, there was a study. I think it was in the New York Times that came out in 2012 that said people taking anti-inflammatories compared to getting massage for muscle soreness after. They got basically the same helpful effects with a possible uptake in actually the insulin response. So basically, after you work out, if you were to get a massage, we all know that there's a post-workout window. I tell my clients this, where you actually process sugar better, so it's a better time to get those simple carbohydrates that you're really not supposed to eat most of the time to really help your muscles recover. Well, massage actually helps increase the speed of that and the synthesis of that. So not only do you get that added boost where maybe you take sugar in better, but at the same time, they show that people taking anti-inflammatories, and I tell you, I've trained a lot of physicians before, and every time they're sore, man, they're popping pills like nothing. Because, of course, if you're a doctor, you can write yourself a prescription. I would know my dad's a doctor, and I get a lot of prescriptions whenever I break something. But it might actually slow the healing effect down. So not only do you get, with massage, a no damage to the healing effect, but you get, and we talk a lot in massage class about, man, how powerful touch is. And And as an example, I can tell you, like, when I was first starting off 18, I was going through Bally's, which, if you remember Bally's, which is pretty much bankrupt now.
Yeah.
My little bragging right thing is I was most promising trainer at PT Fundamentals, which is a big deal when you're 18, and I guess it worked out okay. But I remember when they were teaching us assisted stretching, they say, you don't understand how important this is, not only as a sales tool, but also for the client to really bond with you, because he says, you know, of course you're touching someone, so you want to make sure that people are around you so you're not, you know, getting creeper status. But he said, I was giving this lady a stretching session. Man, they say creeper status all the time at my school, and creeper status is true, man. I always think, man, am I getting creeper status right now? When I get a massage. So I always think about that.
Yeah.
But, Eric knows what I'm talking about. Being a male massage therapist. But at the same time, like, I can say being a male massage therapist has to have advantages, because some of my female clients will tell me that when I say that I'm going to massage school, that some of my other clients get really excited. So being a male massage therapist can't be all that bad, right? But back to the story.
There's the advantages. The only disadvantages seem to be the history.
The bad history. There's some good histories out there.
Hey, you know what? I just want to clear up the whole thing. Some females are really cautious about getting massages from guys. Aaron
yeah.
Kester is not only, first of all, me and Aaron are like bros. There was a time where me and him would just hang out. I call them mandates, man. Me and Aaron just have mandates, and we're both totally straight. But at the same time, like, I love hanging out with Aaron. And Aaron is, like, one of the few guys, like, I did not want anyone else touching me. But, like, Aaron's so sincere, so nice, that I was just like, man, if I'm getting a massage from anyone, it's going to be Aaron. And I can tell you, as far as guys go, but I can tell you that there are some people with personalities that just wouldn't match me. I'd be like, I'm not sure I really want this guy pressed into me. But I think you can tell a lot about a person. And there's a saying that I live by, is how you do anything is how you do everything. And I look at the way Aaron treats people the way that he is, and I would think, okay, what would his massage be like? And it makes a lot of sense. And I think even though there's this stigmatism around, like, okay, this is a male massage therapist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I personally believe it's also what you make of it, you know, and it's also the image that you carry. For example, a lot of chiropractors wear ties. You got to think, well, this guy's adjusting you. Why is he wearing a tie? Because of his image. And so a lot of it is images. And they do soft tissue work as well, right? So if you're a soft tissue therapist, what do you want? You want short sleeves so you can actually do some forearm work. Well, you know what he's going to do? He's not going to wear a short sleeve because he's presenting this professional image. So a lot of it is professional imaging, and a lot of it is really showing the client what you're all about. But anyway, if you want to say something, you can. If not, I'm going to finish the story that I started before.
Go for it.
Okay. So he was like, okay. So he was stretching this lady, and the lady just starts to cry, and he steps back, and he's like, whoa, 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 looking around for witnesses like I didn't do anything. And he says, and the lady looks at him and says, you just touched me more in 5 minutes than my husband has in the last 5 years. And she didn't mean that in a bad way. She meant that in, man, that touch is so important to me. Like, nobody has touched me in forever. And not everyone is going to sign up for a massage session or do something, but the power of touch is so important. So in that New York Times study where they're talking about, yes, these are the benefits of massage for recovery, at the same time, it's like, man, think about the benefits to your soul from getting massage and having someone else touch you. And a lot of massage practitioners will always say, when I give massage, I receive massage. It's this cohesive relationship between touch and touch. And, you know, I strongly believe in that. And it's not necessarily my goal to bring that out, that touch and touch and that cohesive relationship, just me specifically. But I think that's one of the most important parts about really bonding with a great therapist, and that's exactly what you guys do.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're going to be a wonderful and great massage therapist once you get your, pass your exams and get your license and stuff. I definitely would like to work with you. Because I've had Aaron massage me, and the first thing that came to my mind was like, dang, if that was the kind of massage I would have given myself.
That's what Aaron always tells me. He's like, so I think about what I'd like to receive, and I give it. And, man, it's so true. Like, that's that golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And Aaron is a great example of that. He learns something, he thinks about it. And we talk about, like, pleasure. Like, when I'm getting a massage and I think, wow, that feels really good, I always ask Aaron, what are you doing exactly right there? Because I want to be able to give that to someone. And I remember when I was taking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu,
someone would dig their shoulder into my face, and I'd be like, ow, that hurts. And I'd always remember that because I'd be like, man, when I get on top of you, I'm going to dig that shoulder right back into your face, right? So it's, pain, when you receive pain, always reminds you, this is what it feels like. At the same time, man, when someone gives you pleasure, it's like you always remember that. And Aaron does a great job of really transcending that and thinking, like, man, what do I really like to receive and what do I give? And honestly, Aaron is, and I don't say this just because he's one of my friends, but I'm always like, man, Aaron, you're so good at what you do. Here's a story that I don't know if I told him this, but it's so funny. He worked at this day spa that burned down to the ground. I don't know what happened. Too close to too many bars. That's what I think personally happened. But no, I'm sure it was something with the oils. But I had this client, and it's not cheap to work with me one-on-one. It's over $100 a session. And so I only take about 2 to 5 one-on-one clients a year. Right now I'm capping out at 2 just because of my schedule. And this lady, she was highly qualified. She comes in, and she looks on the wall of my before and afters, and she sees Aaron's picture where he's all muscled out and lean and strong. And she reads the file, and she goes, wait a second, I know this guy. And she goes, oh. And she says, you know what? I got a massage once at Jewel Day Spa, and this is the only therapist. And I told my husband that, she said, that applied enough pressure and he gave me the best massage I've ever had. And I've been looking for him for the last 2 years. And that's in Tacoma.
I got the lucky straw.
Yeah, you definitely did. And she's like, man, like, she doesn't train with me anymore because she ended up going to Seattle to work and it doesn't fit into her schedule. But every now and then she'll text me and she'll be like, hey, you have Aaron's contact information? I'm so stressed out right now. I need a massage. And so, I mean, I'll send it to her. You know, it's different, you know, whether people are going to take action on it. But at the same time, you know what? Whenever she thinks about a massage, she always thinks about, man, the best one I ever got was that guy, Aaron Kester. So, mad props to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
blushing now, Aaron. I've been telling everybody that in my, you know, with my clients, that Aaron is, you know, that definitely much taller than me. I don't know how you and I have never seen each other, Isaac. So he is much, much taller than me. So when people want a lot deeper, and I do go deep, you should see how low my table is. I start referring them to Aaron because Aaron has better leverage.
Oh, exactly. It's funny because
you're still really short.
Aaron was wearing shoes the other day, and he walks in, and I'm just looking at him. I'm like, Aaron, did you grow? And he's like, no, man. And I was like, dang. I'm like, only 5'10", he's 6'3", so much bigger. And he, not only is Aaron taller for leverage, but he actually is incredibly strong. In fact, last Friday, he biked from his house for like an hour and a half to meet me in Auburn. And he's just strong cyclist and strong legs. And he really can get lever. And one thing that most people don't realize is the body structure of a therapist really depends on the kind of massage that they're going to give you. And a lot of the teachers that I have really don't exercise and aren't as active. And when they give a massage, they're going to have a higher up table and they're going to lunge forward and kind of take steps into it. And so when Aaron kind of coaches me, he kind of shows me that same style. And it's good body mechanics, but of course they're using a lot more lower body. Aaron has a really strong lower body, and so he'll actually set that table up lower than he probably needs it, but he'll drop in so much with his legs, and he'll be able to transition into half kneeling and still get good angle and good body mechanics. And that's something that makes him really individually unique as a massage therapist. Not only is he tall and has good levers, but he's also very, very strong and able to get into half kneeling positions and create a very seamless massage transition.
I must say, I'm the one who influenced him to lower his table.
Exactly.
Well, that's what he tells me.
You know, in Star Wars, they would always make their lightsabers after their masters as a sign of respect. So obviously Aaron has taken your lower table approach as a sign of respect. And that's great. I mean, we all have people that we learn from and we all learn. And I honestly think that Aaron's massages are much better for it. So I thank you, Lynn, for the great massage therapy work I've been getting from Aaron.
I need to work on you, though. just to see, you know, as far as the type of massages, because he actually has a different style and I have my style that actually has more Thai massage influence in that. That's the reason why I wanted a lower table. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
I know Thai massage is mostly with the feet, and I actually need to get 3 different therapists working on me. So for my school, so between Aaron, you, and have another person in mind, I'd definitely love to get some tissue work from you.
Cool. All right. And then, of course, I need to get a massage from you to see how you're going, I mean, as far as progress.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in massage school for about 6 days now, so I feel like I'm pretty good at massage.
Wow, what kind of school are you going to? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
must be
no,
accelerated,
it's
you know.
It's an 8-day program, so I'm almost graduated.
Oh, my gosh. 8-day program.
Well, you know, they time it by hours, right? So you need 500 minimum to pass. So I figure if I just sit in the school for 24 hours, I'll be done in 2 weeks.
Well, the thing is, 500 hours is just the practice and to make sure that you can pass the test.
Yeah,
so.
No. I'm sure. No, there's a – it's funny because, you know, I'm a community college dropout. So when it comes to schooling and self-education, I tend to be very judicial. So I kind of sit in class and – and when my teachers will say something and they'll ask, like, you know, like for example, we have a teacher, and I love her to death. She's a really nice lady. But today, man, she kept – and I had a little bit of caffeine this morning. And sometimes caffeine makes me a little bit like my world's moving too slow and I get this little mean buzz. And she kept asking, like, do you see how this would be helpful? And I was like, are you saying that as a statement? Like, when I ask you, you know that, when I know you know it, or are you actually asking us, like, you know, if you want us to say yes because you're getting audience participation? And she couldn't answer me, so I don't think she knew exactly which one she was doing.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you're one of those things.
You're one of those.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm one of the older ones in my class, actually, and I have the wrinkles to prove it. So, you know, I'm definitely going to challenge the teacher a little bit.
Makes
like,
it
I'm like, okay,
more interesting for them to keep coming back, right? Okay.
That's interesting.
Exactly.
Knowing how old you are, it's interesting knowing that you're actually not that old for owning the gym and going to massage school.
Well, I feel old, Aaron. Maybe I need more massages. I don't know.
So where are you going to school right now?
So
I mean,
I'm going
what's
to
the
Cortiva.
Cortiva. Okay, all right.
Cortiva, which I heard was pretty good. And the reason I go is one of my friends, Patrick Ward, he was actually an instructor at the Arizona school, and he is quite well-known in training. And he actually ended up moving from Arizona to actually take a full-time job as a consultant for Nike for their athletes. And so
nice.
I figured, you know, that's good enough for him. It's good enough for me.
Yeah, my teacher actually from Renton Tech is now a teacher at Cortiva, and I do believe she is in Arizona.
Oh, excellent. She probably took Patrick's job.
That was a long time ago. I'd say 6-7 years maybe. I don't know. So,
6 or 7 years. Yeah, no. She might be up there now. I love Arizona, by the way. I have one of my clients from Antonia, and she always comes back from there because her family's there. And Arizona is actually a great little spot.
Okay, so let's change the subject. You said something about you're an author of some e-books. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've written my own e-books mainly for my clients. I have a blog, and I actually have a blog on all 3 of my websites. So I just keep updating them. You know, if this one's more adjacent to boot camp training, then I put it on that one. If it's more adjacent to my own personal stuff, I put it on my IPB Fit Life site. I've written articles for training, and usually I'll give someone an article or it'll be published somewhere else. Nick Tumanello from Performance University published one of my articles, which was a big honor for me because he's always been one of my training idols. And what is it, America's Premier Expert, they published a couple of my articles, and I'm writing. There's an Amazon ebook that this guy, what he does is he compiles different chapters from people. And the theme is 17 minutes to fitness, and I'm writing a chapter for him, and I did a video guide for him. It's an 8-week program for spending 17 minutes, including, you know, my version of soft tissue work, dynamic warm-up, and then getting a full-body workout in 17 minutes. Frequency is a little higher because, obviously, when we're working out for about 17 minutes, it's about 6-day-a-week program. But just working on a couple things there. And I just love to write. And unfortunately,
I don't always spell check the best, and my grammar's not always the best, but the girl of my 2012, actually, and I say that because maybe she'll come back, maybe she won't.
are you thinking English from?
No, Natasha, she actually works in journalism for a living, and so she went to USC for public relations and psychology, so she's really, really smart. And she'll read my stuff, and she'll say it's good, but then, of course, she'll be like, but I was a little distracted by all your typos. So I do my best to write, but at the same time, sometimes I feel incredibly inadequate, but the nice thing about writing is you don't need a college degree to do it. You just need a big heart. Well, one of my clients, Rockstar Sput, has her own blog, and I believe she's a much better writer than me. Man, it's all heart when you read that thing.
I wish I could write. I mean, I can, but I'm not very good at writing. I don't feel that I am. it takes too much time to think of something, because I think of so many things, and to write it down in some kind of a understandable ramble, because that's all it is in my head, is just ramble.
Oh, man.
It makes sense.
When I get a good thought, I have to write it down, because it's almost like seeing something beautiful but not taking that picture of it to share with other people.
Oh.
And I'm all about analogies, by the way. It's extremely annoying.
I am all about analogies, too.
Once you get to know Isaac, you'll know he's all about analogies.
I'm all about analogies, and I'm too sensitive. I'm way too sensitive.
Oh, no.
So, when you combine those two things, it's like...
You're in trouble.
Man, no, it's all bad. And then, but it makes sense why me and Aaron... Sometimes I'm like, man, me and Aaron are so similar. And then I'll look at him for a second, and I'm like, nah, no, we're not. But in a way, man, me and Aaron, it's funny, because I had this one female client. She was incredibly successful. We're talking like, I think she sold her company for like $160 million. And just ridiculous amounts of money, and she always said, like, I'm actually not that emotionally, like, romantic, and she's like, it's always kind of weird when the guy is more romantic than you, and I'm super romantic, and I've run into that, too, where I'm like, how come you don't like flowers for us? Like, I got you this card, like, you kind of smiled at it, like, do you not like this card? Yeah, and Aaron's the same way, too, and sometimes I'm like, damn it, Aaron, these women don't appreciate us. These women don't appreciate us. I was like, stop buying them cards. They don't need massages. Take them to Taco Bell. I was like, you know what? Just wear an Ed Hardy shirt when you go on a date with them, and that's it. Like, they don't deserve it. So,
I understand.
That's a whole other radio show right there.
I know.
Oh, man.
I so understand, Isaac. I don't know if you know, I am gay.
I knew that, Lynn.
Okay, good. Phew. Now I'm out. So the thing is that, yeah, I so understand that, because I'm usually the I don't know, the mushy one in the relationship. And I can't understand why the other person isn't.
Oh, it's terrible. And then you know what you need to do? You need to send them this little Pooh Bear picture I'll send to you. And it's picture of Winnie the Pooh, and he's with a piglet. And he goes, some people care too much. I think they call it love.
On this note, let's take a break. We're going to take about a 4-minute break and calm down a little bit from the cloud nine here that we're talking about. And we're going to listen to some Crystallized by Lindsey Stirling. We'll be right back, folks. back, everybody. We're talking to and with, I guess, with Isaac Ho, owner of BeFit Tacoma. So anyway, we're back from our break, and it sounds like to me that we're starting to talk shop on the on this episode. This is kind of fun, but let's pull everything back and talk about some health issues that you've actually seen in your practice, Isaac, and probably the reason why maybe you are going to massage school.
Okay, sure. You know what's funny is, Aaron, just share that fact just to remind everybody what you said about the lungs being different sizes at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the left lung is bigger than the right lung, or was it the
left lung is smaller than the
okay,
right
that's
lung.
What I thought, yeah. So the left lung is smaller than the right lung, so you actually don't pull air into it as well. So because of that, everybody kind of shifts onto their right leg to open up that lung, and they end up stretching that glute out, right? And so it's funny that you would say that, because that's something that's really becoming prominent in what they call PRI, which stands for the Postural Restoration Institute. And they talk about it all the time, these people with these right hips that are stretched out and this left higher shoulder and this right lower shoulder. And how do you take somebody in? And I can tell you, if you're slanted like that and you're loading weight, what's going to happen to your body? Well, it's going to load unevenly, and now you're going to have one side back pain, right? One side shoulder pain. So it's how do you balance that out? And so looking as a trainer, it's like, yes, I want my clients to feel better and move better, but at the same time, man, structurally, physical therapy concept, they would say structure dictates function.
You actually hit me for your call drop. Give us a call again. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
When did you lose me?
I don't remember now.
Okay, I'll start
over.
So, recap if you missed. Your heart's on your left side, and so the lung has to be smaller on your left side, and because of that, you lean to your right side like LL Cool J, and then you've got your left side higher and your right side shorter. And then if you're standing in coffee line and watching everybody shift onto their right hip, they stretch out that glute. So basically, you have this big kinetic chain game, which is one of the biggest things as a trainer that you learn, and it's funny because as a trainer, you learn this kinetic chain game, and then you go back to massage school, and they don't learn the kinetic chain game until later. So it's almost like you did everything in reverse. So essentially, when you're trying to clean up these patterns for people, it's like, okay, how much of this can I change by changing force coupling? And so the body's really all about force coupling. It's what is tighter? Is this cable tighter? Is this cable tighter? Because muscles can only pull and they can't push. And so once you understand that, you have to realize that, oh, if this is tight, then what's pulling and what needs to be loosened? And so tissue work becomes a huge part of that. And for example, you can be too tight through your hips. Like I have this baseball player that trains with me, and he's in this deep catcher position, and he's got this tight TFL, this right TFL, and man, he can't squat because of it, because he hits that and he feels like, man, I get this sharp pain. And so, man, I'll just dig in and we'll release that TFL with have him use a massage stick right now, and boom, he drops down and he's just fine. So some of that is, yes, let's do tissue work to reset this tissue pattern. And you know, I'm a big fan of warm-ups, and I don't really think of them as warm-ups. I think of them as resets, because people are like, oh, you should stretch before you work out. Now, whether that's true or not is debatable, but why would you stretch before you work out? So you don't get hurt. So when you really think about it, then everything you do is so you don't get hurt. So are you really trying to stretch, or are you trying to reset yourself so you don't get hurt? And so when I look at why I would want to do soft tissue work, it's just one type of reset. And so you never meet a yoga practitioner who doesn't think someone could benefit from yoga, and you're never going to meet a fitness practitioner who doesn't think someone could benefit from fitness. You're not going to meet a chiropractor who doesn't think someone could benefit from chiropractic. What they don't understand is just one part of a big picture, and every person needs something different. And my goal in life is not necessarily just learn massage. It's really to learn these different pieces so I can give someone the appropriate piece and pick the appropriate reset for the client. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. It's the same thing as what we do when we learn different modalities in body work. In actuality, I guess, we don't do massage here at the office. We actually do body work. And 'cause massage is basically the basic of what we do. Swedish, some call them deep tissue and so on and so forth. But the stuff that we do, some people that we've had on our table have misinterpreted as calling us physical therapists, but we're not physical therapists. We just have an overlap with what they do as well, soft tissue manipulation, the joint system, I mean, all that stuff as far as muscle is concerned, the ligaments, you know, hooking up those joints together. We have to make them mobile, and that's exactly what PTs do as well. And for those of you listening in, our call-in, live call-in number is 347-677-0699. We're talking with Isaac Ho, and go ahead. Go ahead, Isaac, sorry.
Oh, okay. When we talk about it, it's funny because I love soft tissue work, but I think if soft tissue work in some ways is like stretching. Now, I actually would always emphasize tissue quality over tissue length. And that's a term that most people don't understand. So I would say tissue quality is like having a rubber band that's knotted up and untying the knots in the rubber band. Tissue length is taking a rubber band, whether it's knotted or not, and trying to stretch it. So when you have people come to you, not everybody needs to stretch something, but pretty much everyone can work on the quality of their tissue. At the same time, for example, and this is where people might disagree, physical therapists will strengthen what needs to be strengthened and lengthen what needs to be lengthened. So as a massage practitioner, of course, you're not going to be taking people through strengthening exercises on the table. You're more trying to just to lengthen tissue. At the same time, you're going to do an assessment and kind of see, maybe through range of motion or through palpation, okay, this is the structure that is too tight, or this is a structure with poor tissue quality, and you're going to address it. So it's really just part of a bigger picture. And for example, like I have an ankle, a right ankle that, and this is not my ankle that it broke, this is a different ankle that is very, very, it has too much laxity. And so when I walk, the joints will pop, and it's just pretty much been destroyed from kickboxing. And when I run, it gets worse and worse. So if you were to loosen the tissue on that ankle even more and maybe give it a little bit of vibrato to shake it, it might not be the best thing for it. So to loosen that structure and decrease the stability of that structure, probably not the best thing. On some other points, I have an erector, which is pretty tight on my right side because of the way my hips shift, and that could probably use a little tissue quality. But I think there's a fine line when you do assessment and thinking, okay, this is what needs to be strengthened, this is what needs to be lengthened. And people can confuse that for physical therapy. I think the thing is, if you have a good physical therapist, they're going to do an assessment of somebody, they're going to see it, and then they're oftentimes going to refer that patient or client to someone who does soft tissue. Because, let's be honest, they're not the experts in soft tissue work. If you go to physical therapy school, yes, you're getting a doctorate, but how much of that time is actually spent working on soft tissue manually? Not the most. And they would rather be screening and kind of sorting things out and then referring out and collecting the big check at the end of the day than sitting there for an hour, you know, trying to clean up some tissue work. And so it really is this umbrella of healthcare. And one of the reasons that I decided to go to massage school is listening to physical therapist Charlie Weingroff talk about how training equals rehab and rehab equals training. And when you have to understand when you train someone that if you say, hey, I'm going to work on this nerve, I'm going to do this or that, or I'm going to do this for you, and you use one of these more advanced things, like, for example, as a healthcare practitioner, you go through a lot of pathology in your school. As a personal trainer, we don't do a lot of pathology. And so if somebody comes to us with pathology, we pretty much have no idea what to do for that person. And we have to do our best guess because it's really not what we're trained to do. As a healthcare practitioner, you are experienced with more pathology. And as a physical therapist, they're experienced with even more pathology, injuries, and surgery. So if you asked me kind of what the process was for like an ACL graft, I probably couldn't tell you because I'm not a physical therapist. But if you ask any good physical therapist, they should be able to tell you what ACL graft is because that's exactly what they're dealing with as soon as someone comes out. So realizing that what you intend to do with a client, what you say you can help them with, and if something goes wrong, what you're trained to help them with really is where that hierarchy of that umbrella comes through. And so Charlie Weingroff puts it like that. And so if you have manual therapy skills and you're a personal trainer and you can do your own version of assessment and say, like, this is what I'm comfortable doing with, and this is what I'm trained to handle if something goes wrong, then go ahead and do it. But at the same time, realize, like, if you're not properly in that healthcare umbrella and you're not trained for it when things go wrong, then maybe you shouldn't be messing around with nerves. That's just not your scope, and you should save it for somebody else.
Mm. Okay, I just want to, because of the fact that you're just 6 days into your massage therapy program, I'm not quite sure what the program is at Cortiva. As far as what I went through in massage school at RTC, we do train a little bit with strengthening muscles. And there is a modality called muscle energy technique, which we activate the opposite muscle or the same muscle in order for us to relax it, basically. And the fact that most low back pains are due to improper balance and weak core strength. So we do show them certain things. We don't actually tell them or, you know, more of a suggestion because it's not within our scope of practice to give them exercise, you know, homeworks and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I have heard of MET. I don't know if we're going to be doing any MET specifically in my course. I actually doubt it. But what I can say is, like, you know, everyone has their own different way of dealing with low back pain. I've had low back pain for probably 3 years now. I was just putting weights on a bar, wasn't really paying attention before I cared a whole lot about spinal mechanics because, you know, when you don't have back pain, you don't really care about how your back works. So
exactly.
Obviously, I blew out my right sciatic nerve to a point where I couldn't straighten my leg out, long story short. Barely could walk, couldn't sit. So luckily for my clients, I pretty much destroyed everything on my body and had to fix it. So they get a little bit of pain, you know, it's okay. I got you covered. But, you know, there's a lot of things. For example, my sciatic nerve problem, yes, the nerve wasn't in the right place anymore. Okay, so what is going on? Is it being tweaked through the bones? Is the muscles clamping down on it and tweaking that nerve? And you can do as much tissue work as you want, strengthening, but what am I doing throughout the rest of the day that is actually aggravating that problem? So I can tell you when I squat, I tend to shift my hips a little to my right, and so it doesn't matter how much tissue work I get, how much core strengthening I do, that right glute medius is too weak to push itself back, especially if I'm standing around all day, right, mm-hmm. sitting on that right hip so I can breathe into that right lung because that right lung's bigger, right? So now it becomes a problem of, okay, what do I fix? Well, there's multiple things I need to fix in order to get in a better position to not aggravate that low back. And so I think a lot of times people think, oh, if I strengthen this, it's really going to help. Yeah, you strengthen it, it's going to help you a little bit. But at the same time, you can strengthen your low back as much as you want. If someone's bending down to pick something up improperly, it's going to hurt themselves every time.
Exactly. And that's what we also show them. It's like, can you show me how you pick up something on the floor, and then I watch them, and it's like, you're using your back, you're not using your legs. So, and then we show them the proper way of squatting down and picking something up. So we do a little bit of education here as well. So that's the reason why we spend the exact 60 minutes. If they pay for 60 minutes worth of massage, we give them 60 minutes, and there is a, 15, 20, sometimes 25 minutes of time that we can spend with them afterwards if we need to.
That's great. That's providing them an extra service. Go ahead, Aaron.
Clients come in sometimes they have a specific problem, but sometimes they just come in, they want to get a massage, and they want to improve their quality of life, as you would say. And I've heard you say this, Isaac, that when somebody comes in, they really don't want just to have a better looking body. They really want to improve their health. They want to improve their quality of life. Would you say that's the truth?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, quality of life is different for everybody. For example, I get clients that just want to ski, man. And they say they want to lose weight, and they know they need to lose weight. But, man, their immediate goal is they just want to be able to ski with their kids without their knees hurting this season. And in fact, a lady signed up just for that. So it's all about quality of life, and everyone's life is different, you know. So definitely mad props to you guys for taking the time to show people how to move better. And that's what in the geeky training world we call active care versus passive care, which basically passive care is what you guys give to people when you massage them, but active care is showing them what they can do to help themselves. And that is empowering people is the most important thing. So I'm a big believer that whenever you can, you show somebody active care before you go passive care, because otherwise they're relying on you all the time. And I think chiropractors get really reliant on just adjusting people, popping them. And so what do you have to do? You have to go back and see the chiropractor, you know, once a month, twice a month to keep you in line, versus if they spent more time really showing you the passive care modalities, which tends to be what I focus on.
That's not that I really
deal with people in pain. But that is something that I picked up from Dr. Craig Levinson, And he not only is a really, really nice guy, he wrote me a testimonial for my website, but he also tends to have written one of the top books that they use in chiropractic college, one of their textbooks. So I think that whenever you can learn from anyone inside the health industry or fitness industry, definitely take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. Kudos to you to actually expand your fitness training profession, including massage, so that now you are getting educated in pathology, so you have a better understanding why people actually, not just for weight loss, but because of the weight that they have, their back hurts, they have all these different kinds of symptoms and pathologies as well that you can help with. I mean, that's kind of like what I did several years ago before LA Fitness took over Pure Fitness. I had a fitness trainer help me out, and through what she's told me, I learned how to implement some of the stuff that she's told me to have my back not hurt as much, and had a better body mechanics. And then the Thai massage also helped with all that stuff, and put it all together, plus Tai Chi, to help out. And learning what I learned in Tai Chi, I've been telling people how to do the standing meditation to help their back, so that they know exactly how to bend down and pick up something on the ground.
That's great. There's a lot of very interesting, like right now I'm training for the RKC, which is basically the Russian Kettlebell Challenge, and man, they will reteach you how to breathe before you even swing a bell. They will teach you how to brace. They will teach you how to get tight before you do anything, and it's totally different. It's almost like learning how to move, breathe, do everything again. So I'm sure Tai Chi is very much the same way. And it's funny, being a fitness guy, I really don't want to teach people how to breathe. You would think I just want them to breathe less because they're tired. But at the same time, no, I have to be very diligent about saying, okay, let's spend a few minutes here. And what you put into any workout is what you're going to get out. Just like, you know, if you're showing them how to squat, whatever they get out of that is what they really apply. And so we take a few minutes there, and even our large group classes, and just work on breathing, not because I think, oh, let's get super geeky, but man, if you really take this time to apply and learn, and what is it, like 3 minutes a day, twice a week, what, that 6 minutes times four, 24 minutes, I'm asking you to breathe for 24 minutes and really focus on breathing a month, 24 minutes a month. And so if you are productive with that time, you can get many advantages, not only stabilizing your lower back and getting air into the deep abdominals and stabilizing that SI joint, but at the same time, it's taking that stress off those shoulders and really loosening up that T-spine, and that's going to make them save their shoulders, and when they come see you, they're not going to have to suffer so much on the table.
Okay. Hey, are you a proponent of foam rollers?
You know, I am a proponent of foam rollers. We have tons of foam rollers. We use rumble rollers. We have back buddies. We use whatever works. And to be honest, I'm a big believer in, it's like, okay, man, we could grab a med ball and we can roll on it. You can find a doorknob and you can push up on it. Whatever you have is really going to help. So, and at the same time, are foam rollers as great as massage therapists? No. But, like, one of the guides I typed up is called the Poor Man's Massage Guide, because not everybody maybe can get a massage every day, but you should do some tissue work. So it's, it's like I would rather you have something than nothing. So I absolutely love foam rollers for that reason.
Yeah, I am a proponent of foam rollers as well. And we've been telling people to buy tennis balls, squash balls, to do some trigger point therapy on their own. I mean, basically said, you know, as I'm massaging them on the table, I said, this is my elbow right there on your glutes. Buy a squash ball. Put it exactly where I'm putting my elbow.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. They'll love you forever for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much
as
we
love
Thank
you for showing me how to hurt myself at home.
Actually, a client did hurt herself because I kept telling them, you know, to change it every few seconds, no more than 3 minutes per area. And I massaged her, looked at her back, and go, what are these bruises? Because I have to tell them, I'm seeing bruises. It's not me. Does that hurt? You know, so I can avoid it. And they go, oh, it's because I've been using the tennis ball that you told me. And I go, yeah, but for how long? She goes, it felt so good, then I forget it's there. And I go, no, you don't want to do that. too much is just too much, basically.
Even as a massage practitioner, I've done the same thing.
Yeah,
Aaron.
No, and people, you have to be careful about empowering people sometimes, because, I mean, people want results, and they want to do their best to listen to you, and I've seen people, honestly, I've seen people just be like, man, yeah, I worked out with you yesterday. I was so sore I could barely walk, so I thought I'd go running today to get rid of it. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, now I can't walk. And they don't come in for a week. So a lot of times you can do more damage by yourself than is really good. And I think there's an overshoot, undershoot, and most people, as lazy as a society as we are, I'm hesitant to say, most people could undershoot and be fine, then overshoot and create problems for themselves.
So true.
Yeah, it's like us, man. We need to stop giving roses.
No, we can't get into that.
We're overshooting, man. No more than just one rose or just half a stem. That's all they get now. Half a stem.
they earn what they deserve or what?
No, man. Sometimes you can be too sweet. Right, Lynn? Lynn probably knows this.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's just too sweet. Yeah.
I don't know if that applies to our clients, though. Can you be too sweet with your clients? Can you be too...
Well, you have to also balance it out, because you don't want to be too touchy-feely. You're already touching them on the massage. But, you know, I do warn people, massage therapists, they're huggers, most of them, and we have to be careful.
Yeah, you know what? I hug all my clients that come through most of the time. And it's funny because they're always like, oh, I'm sweaty. You don't want to hug me after workout. And I'm like, oh, no, it really doesn't matter. It's not like I'm never going to wash this again, you know. But at the same time, you know, I think you can kind of judge your clients and you can know which ones are really going to love to have that hug from you and which one of those are going to be like, you can massage me, but please don't hug me.
We do have our network founder, which is Restita de Jesus, online, live with us. And she was saying that a little bit ago that she was hearing us through disco music. Hey, Restita.
you know what that was? Well, okay, I'm in this rental car, and I've got the phone hooked up to the stereo via Bluetooth. And when I started dialing, I guess it, like, went through all of my music. And it started playing this weird sample song off of my phone called Ninja Tuna or something. And it just started playing while you go. When I dialed in, I'm like, what the heck is that? And I'm like, I know they're not playing this, so I don't get it. But anyway, I was just going to listen, actually. But then I barely heard you say... Rusty, is that you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm hearing you guys over Ninja Tuna. I don't know.
I'm going to have to listen to that song.
I kid you not. It's like, I don't remember if it's the album called Ninja Tuna. It was just like the sample that came with the phone, right? Like, oh. But, you know, I was listening a little bit through my mobile browser from what I could get, because I couldn't get your guys' stream up to its current point. It kept, like, putting me, like, you know, 10 minutes behind and stuff like that. So I was like, well, I'll just call in. But great show. I like what you guys are talking about. I did have a question, though, for Isaac.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a martial artist. I do the Tai Chi. In fact, I'm Lynn's Tai Chi teacher. But I do other stuff as well. I've done a lot of grappling and stuff like that. And first, it's a two-part question. Just want to know if you have a lot of martial artists. You're looking for different ways. And two,
uh-oh.
Well, I she's
cutting out. I know, she is. Oops. She was loud, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Sorry, I lost you guys for a second. I got to put you back on.
Probably have T-Mobile.
And two, you know, you get... clients that, if you do get clients from martial arts, does it matter, you know, what type of activity they do as far as what advice you give them?
Absolutely. This is funny because I have trained a few martial artists. One of the first, because I originally got into personal training to train martial artists, so that was really the number one thing that I studied for a long time, is how do you train for that sport? Because I actually wanted to be a cage fighter, which is the only reason why I got into personal training. Because which is funny because if you see my picture, I'm far too pretty to be a cage fighter. So. Don't laugh until you look at the picture, okay?
Okay. Anyone can be a cage fighter. I don't want to get hit no more.
Yeah, I can't take the hits to the face. So I studied this for a long, long time. What was that, Aaron?
Is this why you wanted to bring up how good we looked before we started?
Yeah. Actually, me and Aaron are incredibly, incredibly good looking. But we'll take applications. There's a waiting list just in case we become single. There's a waiting list. But
I have a song in my head now. Thanks, Isaac.
What's the song?
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. When you're perfect in every way.
No.
Oh, my God.
You know when your mom tells you you're handsome and you're little? I think I took it a little bit too literally, and a little. I was like, my mom would never lie to me, right? Like, why would she lie to me?
Oh wow!
So even now.
Awesome.
So we should probably get back to the cage fighting. I've trained boxers. I've trained competitive taekwondo people. And here's the thing, it's all about energy systems. So I remember asking my Thai boxing teacher, you know, are you supposed to be, if you're trying to compete, are you supposed to be lifting weights? Or are you supposed to just do body weight exercises? Because most places they just do body weight exercises.
Uh-huh.
The truth is you definitely want to lift weights. If you watch the evolution of mixed martial arts, especially as a sport, and you see how these people are able to gain strength without actually gaining size, there's a very specific protocol for training that way. And doing thousands of reps will make you really great, and I'm sure you went through school, will make you really great at having that slow twitch speed, but definitely does nothing for your fast twitch fibers. Even moving explosively is going to cap you out. So another thing I would say is that there's so many great things about martial arts that can be trained in martial arts. I don't think it's necessary to put a martial artist on this 2-hour weightlifting program and give them, okay, if you're punching, you know, with your hands, let's go ahead and put dumbbells in your hands and punch. It trains what we call incorrect or vector loading, which basically when I punch out, the force really should be horizontal. And when I'm holding dumbbells, the weight drops straight down. So now the stress is actually on my elbow, doing nothing to really help my back. So if you're going to train the sport, and the time that I spend working with an athlete is to increase their max strength and also really to help them set themselves up where they're not going to be so strong. For example, if you've taken Taekwondo and things like that, you probably know that that left foot is in front and that right foot is back, right? And so most of the time, unless you use a switch, but you have a dominant stance if you're a regular fighter compared to a southpaw. So because of that, you got to think, well, I'm always in this left stance, right? I've always got this strong left stance. What is my right leg doing, right? My right leg is probably externally rotated. And what happens when you start to get that bony adaptation? It creates a lot of problems. So what I'm really trying to do is to balance out the imbalance between the hips. At the same time, being a fighter, you probably know you are getting into a very kyphotic position, trying to tuck that chin into your head. You've got an imbalance in your cervical flexors. I can guarantee you try to rotate to one side, you're going to get some popping. Your breathing is going to be all off. I mean, there's a lot of things great about martial arts, but at the same time, there's a lot of imbalances. So, like, I have a punching bag at my gym, and we hung it up. But, man, I don't think boxing by far, I think it's a good source of getting fatigued. But as far as training people to be symmetrical and to be perhaps more pain-free, I really don't think it's a great idea. But, I mean, we could talk about specific questions about training for martial arts. You know, every sport's different. I can tell you as a kickboxer, and someone who's in jiu-jitsu, you're going to have more of a posterior tilt in your pelvis, and you probably know posterior tilt. Right, you're going to have more of a posterior tilt because when you're on the ground, you've got to have that pelvis tucked under to get into guard, and when you're kicking and striking, you have to have your hips underneath you so you can rotate out through those hips. Otherwise, you'd shear your spine on every rep. So people that are in anterior tilt don't do as well in those sports, and just like basketball players are always going to have more anterior tilt, so they have that pelvic position with that tight hamstring, so they can take two steps and explode through that tight hamstring. So the sports you gravitate towards is definitely going to dictate the function of your body, which, of course, physical therapy always says function is dictated by structure. And so we look at that structure, and we don't necessarily want to take you to neutral too much, because the reason you're good at that sport is because you have that structure. But at the same time, we want to balance you so you're not ending up hurting yourself. Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Right. And that makes sense, and that's awesome. And one of the reasons why I asked that was because, you know, I have a lot of colleagues that come from the old school, right? Exactly doing exercises exactly like you were talking about, like, oh, let's punch with weights, and, you know, then they wonder why their elbows are all out of whack or something, or that they would favor one side over the other. And then as they get older, it shows. And, you know, I used to go, oh, my goodness, and wow, why are you only training just that one leg? Why are you only training just that one elbow? Why are you only just training that one punch, you know, and why are you all weak on the other side? You know, and if there are any martial artists listening, you know, the reason why I asked the question was because, you know, I wanted, any of the martial arts listeners out there that listen to the network to realize that, yeah, that there is a lot of things that there are can benefit them with, like you mentioned, Isaac, but that also that there is the option of also seeing a good trainer or a good physical therapist to put in that sense of balance should they need it, should they choose to go that route. But like I said, you know, a lot of these guys are like old school, you know, and set in their ways, and but they can't walk now.
No, and that's the difference between fitness and health, right? If I train that left arm only, man, I'm probably going to have a killer left punch, but at the same time, I'm probably going to end up with some serious health problems. You know what? It depends on how long you want to be in the sport and how competitive you want to be in the sport, but, I mean, I can tell you, if I was, I would rather have someone make me champion and still make me champion later on than make me champion once and then I couldn't be champion again. So,
yeah.
Even if it's something like... Yeah, and even if it took me longer to get there, you know, there's different roads to it. And for example, I hear about in Thai boxing, they always say, man, people are kicking banana trees and getting the shins. And I'm sure, like, there's a lot of great things to it. For me personally, because I'm not a professional MMA fighter, because luckily enough, I got into this field, I don't have to do any of that stuff. And my clients don't have to do any of that stuff. And if I get somebody who is training for it, I'm going to assume that maybe one day he wants to have children and he wants to be able to walk next to his children. So
yeah.
I'm going to train him. I'm going to train him accordingly, and I'm not going to bash
exactly.
him every time he comes up from a sit-up. So, you know, it's fun stuff to do, and it makes for a great TV show. But at the same time, TV is TV. It's you watch people flipping these tires and stuff, and I can tell you my friend who's a coach who trains these top athletes, man, when they come out with the TV crew, man, he gets the tire out, he gets the sledgehammer out, they get everything they want to look cool, but on a regular day, are they doing that every day? Absolutely not. he'll be the first to tell you, man, Spike TV's coming down, they're putting makeup on me, I'm getting the tire out, you know, and this is entertainment television. So, it's what you do with professional athletes is actually, you know, not that different of what you're going to do with a normal person, because we train all our clients like they're athletes. And you know, like my friend Lucas has his body transformation contest in Renton, and his slogan is Unleash Your Inner Athlete. That's his, right? And so he's really calling people like, hey, man, you're an athlete inside. You've got the tenacity to be competitive, to drive more out of yourself, and that's yours. My philosophy and Lucas' philosophy are a little different. Like mine, I'm calling mine the Victory Camp Challenge because, you know, I think the problem is, like Melissa was talking about, because she's a life coach, that people don't give themselves small victories. And that's really the goal of our next body transformation is, like, let's say I want to lose 25 pounds. Well, maybe I don't win first place in this challenge, but if I even lose 12 pounds, like, what am I giving myself for losing those 2 or 3 pounds so I don't get demotivated? And it's just like anything in life, whether it's business or whether it's school, it's like, okay, if I do my homework, what is going to be my reward? I can't say I'm going to give myself this big vacation at the end of this journey. It's like, what are the small steps that I'm taking? So I always say, like, the small victories lead to your big victory. For us, it's 6 weeks to your biggest victory. And so the thing I love about whether it's fitness, it's training, it's massage, is so much of it is applicable to the rest of your life. And just figuring out how to translate that to people
and help them say, yeah, maybe you worked on your fitness here, but how can you take what you learned working on your fitness or your health or your tissue work and applying it to the rest of your life? And that's something like, as a martial artist, you probably know, they say, punching someone in the face doesn't make you a martial artist, right? Taking what you learned
right.
in the discipline from martial arts and applying that to the other aspects of your life make you a great martial artist. And that's why I always tell my people that, you know, they say Vladimir Putin of Russia is probably the best martial artist because he took the things that took him to be a black belt judoka and apply that to being the president of Russia, right? And we have a saying in our gym that says, it's by Samurai Maxim, and I love this quote to death, and I always thank Warren for sharing it with me after a level 2 training for warriors, and it says, command who has attained mastery of an art reveals it in his every action. And so
uh-huh.
if you can learn anything or master anything or take things that maybe someone might say, like, for example, origami. Like, how useful is origami? But if you become a master level at origami, you could probably take the discipline that you use on that and apply it to anything in your life. And so
mm-hmm.
it's just taking mastery. Mastery in one aspect is mastery to everything. And that's why Tim Ferriss has the 4-hour work week, the 4-hour body, and now the 4-hour chef. And he just takes the tools that he uses to be productive and live the life that he wanted, whether it was business, finance, working out, and just apply it over and over again in the same formula. And he just creates and shows people how to be masterful. And I absolutely love that. I think that's amazing. And, you know, everyone has kind of their own goals. But, man, I want my clients to develop mastery so they can go out and write those books that they want to write, that they have these dreams for, or get that job that they wanted to, or maybe just even spend more time and raise the kids and have the family that they want to because they have that mastery.
Right on.
Cool.
I'll say that all this mastery and personal training has really moved into your mastery in business because that's what you're really doing with your BeFit business, right?
Yeah, you know, business for me at the moment is to meet business. You only need so much money, right? And let's say you make $6,000 a month. Does the difference between making $6,000 and $8,000 really a big difference to you a month? Like, does it change your life so drastically? Like, maybe you could buy a little bit more stuff, and it's important to some people. But, like, I'm 24, like, how much money do I really need? So when I commit to my business, honestly, like, it's easier for me to commit to training because I get more self-fulfillment out of it. When I commit to my business, it's more like, how can I make this place better to give back to each one of my clients, whether it's giving them wristbands or running seminars or doing things that people would say, well, that's a smart business thing to do. Like, for example, you guys have this Health Talk Radio, and, yeah, it's great to really educate other professionals and create interest, but at the same time, I'm sure you're hoping that it's going to help benefit your business because it's information marketing, right? You're the reciprocity of it. Sorry if I gave away your mad scheme there, but
you saw right through us. No.
That's all right. Hey, you know,
transparency, okay?
Right,
transparency.
But, You have transparent. I'm 100% transparent with everything I do, but it's just taking these things and like that's committing. At the same time, it's like, yes, you're committing to your business, but you're committing to your clients. So when I look at, okay, am I committing to my business? I really think, am I really committing to my clients? Like, for example, do I need turf in my gym? No, but does it sure make everyone's day a little bit better when they can walk in and see this beautiful green turf? Like, you know, and instead of gray carpet and things like that. If the bathroom's cleaner, is that for my sake or is it really for my clients? Like, yes, it helps me put more money in my pocket, but you only need so much money in your pocket. What are you really giving back to your clients? And so committing to my business and having that mastery, you know, I have a business coach, and, like, the biggest thing I need for my business coach is definitely accountability. And so when I don't get it, I don't necessarily feel like I get my money's worth. But it's funny because we always get on our clients like, oh, have you been drinking your water? Have you been eating your food? But at the same time, we can't even get our business coach to have us turn in our numbers or make little changes to the things that we're supposed to do. So it's like they lecture or we lecture them for health, and a business coach could easily lecture us for being too lazy on these other aspects, you know? It's like, you know, setting up networks, stuff we don't want to do. And so I never, like, get out of my clients for not doing things because, you know, if I was perfect, my business would have rapidly grown even more than it has. So, you know, working on mastery on the business level is definitely one of my goals. Not really because I want to have, like, a huge mega gym and train everybody and be the only name in fitness, because it's disciplining myself to give more to each of my clients.
Well said.
Very cool. I think Isaac should have his own show.
Oh, no. You can take the other Tuesday that I'm not on.
Oh, my goodness. goodness, that's awesome.
Nobody wants to listen to me talk about how pretty I am for an hour every other Tuesday. Trust me.
You'll be surprised how many people will listen to people talk about fitness or body or whatever. You'd be surprised. But I have to run. Thank you so much, Isaac, for talking with me about those little points. And great job, Lynn. Great job, Aaron. We'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, thank
have
you
a fun
for
rest of the
Thank you.
Yeah, have a fun rest of the show.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, Isaac, so now let's get, since we're having so much fun now you're going to have to explain to me how the heck did you get that award for being the most, what was that?
Oh, yes.
Good looking, or what was it, in Tacoma? The fitness trainer award thing?
Really
the best
quick,
looking?
Quick, Lynn, I just had someone post on Facebook that they couldn't hear the feed. I don't know if it's still working. Could you check on your end? Maybe it's just her computer.
I'm hearing everybody, so I'm not quite sure.
Okay. If it's it's probably working then. Sorry, Rhonda. But so I had an old client of mine who's pretty well connected in Tacoma just kind of vote for me. She's like, and she posted on my Facebook that she had voted for me to be the sexiest trainer in Tacoma, and I was like, ha, like I'm not gonna win that. And so I just mentioned it on Facebook, like, hey, vote for me out of fun. And then I forgot about it, but I got a call or an email from the Weekly Volcano, and they asked me to come down for the photo because I apparently had won and they needed to do a phone interview.
Wow.
So long story short, I think nobody else ran. So
oh, okay.
I always, you know, when I'm trying really hard with my girl in 2012, I always tell her, I was the sexiest trainer in Tacoma. It's the second largest city in Washington. I was like, that's a pretty big deal. You remember when Isaac was hot stuff, right? And to be honest, I say it because it sounds funny, but I don't think there's much merit to it, and I don't think anyone else noticed besides my grandma and my mom, so.
No, it's great to have fun and to poke fun at oneself. I mean, I'm doing the same thing with my ad campaign as far as poking fun of alternative health. I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures that I posted on our our page,
yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah, they're
page.
On our cards, and I think I've shown Isaac our cards.
so yeah.
You know what? I have not seen them.
And
if I did, it was probably after I came down from my caffeine high, so I probably just didn't even notice. So I'll have to look at those again. But
We have more ideas for this. So if you can come up with something to make fun for fitness trainers, we would love the idea and we would put it on there.
You know what? I unfortunately cannot make fun of fitness trainers because they might come back after me. And I'm too sensitive, so I would die in a heartbeat. No, you know, fitness trainers are funny because there's different kinds of fitness trainers, and I think it really just depends on how long you've been in the industry. But there are so many things that poke fun at fitness trainers, and I think the biggest thing as a fitness trainer is try not to post, you know, your Facebook profile picture. You should probably have a shirt on. That's step number one. And nobody really cares how jacked you are and how much you squat. You know, I think people are definitely looking for something a little bit more. I think a lot of reason most of my clients like me is just because I care, and people tell me time and time again is I'm not intimidating. You know, I'm 170 pounds and I'm 5'10" and I'm not roided up. And if you see me in my gym, I usually am wearing like a long sleeve T-shirt, and I definitely don't look like anything special. But you know, if you talk to me, you'll see that. Somehow people think I'm special. So you know, that is the biggest thing for me. But every trainer is different, and I know tons of people who see pictures of people working out all the time with their shirts off, and they think that's inspiring. So I think it's more power to you. It's like, you know, what is your Kool-Aid? Every client is going to have their own kind of Kool-Aid they want to drink, and hopefully it will be the right flavor for them. And if not, I try not to poke too much fun. But
aww.
Oh, yeah.
which kind of people you want to work with, right?
Exactly. Like,
there's some therapists that will leave people bruised, and some people absolutely love that. And there are other therapists who say, man, if you drive in too hard, you're gonna activate that nervous system to just kick you right back out. And some people like it when it's deep tissue, and some people prefer the spa. And so, some people love, like, you know, you can talk about cross, you can talk about anything, and some people love it, and I try not to condemn it, but, I think there are basic principles. For example, like as a massage therapist, be respectful, right? As a trainer, be respectful. Attention to detail, that's what makes someone great. So attention to detail when you're giving someone a massage, focus, customer service, those are the things that are probably the most important things. Is you're giving that to your client, whether it's fitness or it's massage. It really doesn't, you can have differences in what you do or how you present it, but the core basic principles and are the biggest things, and methods are always, always debatable. They say methods are many, and they always change, but principles are few, and they stay the same.
It depends on the person, the character of the person, and how they deliver themselves to their clients. It's so different. There's some people that don't like me, and there's some who love me, and so you can't really please everybody, but you do.
No, that's why you have Aaron.
Okay, Aaron, your turn. We're gonna make him blush all night long here.
I love to give people compliments when I know them, and there's one thing I think I'm pretty good at doing is talking people up. So, and I have no problems talking up Aaron, because not only is he great at what he does, but man, when I think about people that really deserve success and if they put their pedal to the metal and really dug their head down and went deep, I think Aaron could be extremely successful at whatever he sets his mind to. So.
Well, this is the reason why I saw the potential, and that's the reason why I took him in. If he
exactly.
only go and do it without prompting, that's the thing. And he's starting to actually see his own potential, so I'm really, really happy.
The key is to caffeinate him. If you get him on caffeine, man, that guy would just zip around.
Well, here's the funny thing. He bought this caffeine drink mix thing, and I was really sleepy because I haven't really slept much. And actually, it did, because I needed to stay awake during that time. And so I just drank a little bit of it, and after drinking it, maybe 10 minutes later, I was ready to go to bed.
Not everyone responds to caffeine the same way.
I know, darn it.
Yeah, it's the way that your body breaks things down. I got a buddy named Robert who I've lived with forever, and you can give him the strongest energy drink you have, and he won't react to it well. So not everyone can actually break down caffeine and respond to it. So that's kind of one of those individual differences between people. So I always tell people, like people ask me, like, oh, does that work for you? I'm like, yeah, it works for me, but whether it's working for you, I'm not sure I have a generic answer for that. So. But luckily, caffeine works for me.
Well, good for you guys. That's why at least I can drink it at night and still go to bed.
You should be with both of Isaac and I on a day when we have caffeine.
Oh, great. So, I'm in trouble.
Take my caffeine way early before this show. So otherwise, I'd be talking way too fast and no one would understand me. They'd be like, what did you have as... Why did you have him speak Chinese during his interview? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, do you speak Chinese?
I speak a very little bit. Or as they say in Mandarin, yin, I can understand more than I can actually speak. So.
Yeah, kind of, sort of like me as well, but yeah. But not Chinese, though.
We're coming up on the end of the show almost.
Yeah, 13 minutes left. Hey, why don't you tell us how anybody can get a hold of you, find you, all that stuff, website.
Your body transformation program, too, since that's a big thing you're just about to start, right?
Yeah, so thanks for asking, Aaron. I just have my body transformation, that Victory Camp that I was talking about. It's basically a six-week program. The goal for that is really to get people on a set curriculum. So last time we ran one, it was really great for about 3 weeks because people are really, like, excited for 3 weeks, but then they really forget about, like, why they did everything. And most of it starts with not doing the footwork and thinking you're going to skip ahead. So this time we actually have a set-up curriculum for them so they can really take the time, report into their group, and and really show that they're committed to the success. Because I always say, like, you can't want it more than they want it. You know, if you want their success more than they actually want it, you're always going to be doing the work, and they're always not going to be meeting you halfway. And it's just a universal principle. So they need to earn it and do the homework and really think about their life and figure out how they're going to plan things around it. And once they show you that, man, take all you can to help them. But moving through that, we're, of course, doing 4 workouts a week. Usually we do 3 full bodies, but we're adding a 4th extra one. I'm also giving everyone workout copies of the Amazon ebook chapter so they don't have to buy it. So if you're in my camp and you get that, you can actually get the full 8 weeks of workout. So at the same time, it gives you a lot of workout options. You get extra coaching. And, of course, we have 1st, 2nd, 3rd prizes, which, if you know me, I love to buy clothes. So I'm giving away a bunch of hundreds of dollars of Nordstrom gift cards. So.
Oh, nice.
So excited for that. We're also giving away personal training prizes, like months of boot camp and personal training packages, and actually, you know, working with a dietitian and things to really to helping people keep making positive changes afterwards, or motivating themselves so they can go buy new clothes that they feel more confident in. And to me, part of looking good is being able to wear nice clothes and feeling great about it. So that definitely just helps increase your quality of life. But if you're interested in reaching me, of course, I have a couple websites, befittacoma, befittacoma.com. That's my main website, and you can read a little bit about me there, watch some videos, read a little bit of programs, and just send me an email and get on the waiting list for training. If you're looking for my blog site, it's Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, befit, B-E-F-I-T, life, L-I-F-E.com. That's my main blog site. There's a lot of stuff on there. You can also contact me through there. It's not quite as easy. But if you just want to read some good information, that link's to my Facebook, so you can get a hold of me there. And then I have just befittacomabootcamp.com, and that's just my bootcamp sales site. So you can see some before and afters and get an idea of what our bootcamp program is. That's if you're just more interested in working out in our groups, and that's kind of a nice way to see it. But other than that, you know, you can always stalk me and get my phone number and invite me out to dinner.
Well, we'll definitely be stalking you. I'm not quite sure about taking you out to dinner since you seem to be very, very busy. But I am signing up for massages and stuff like that and doing some trade with you, especially that you are going to massage school. I'll be very interested in working with you.
Oh, great. Excellent. I hope to come down this Friday, actually, if anyone has time to schedule to stop by the studio and see and learn a little. But
let us know about what time.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm excited because Aaron told me a lot of great stuff about you, and I know you've been in the industry for a while now, so I'm definitely excited to of course, learn from someone else who, you know, I always want to surround myself with people who are really at the top of their field, and you definitely are one of those, so I'd be happy and honored to learn from you.
Yeah, I'll teach you how to use your knees. Knees, elbows, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun because that is something that actually I'm alive in when I share what I know. The problem is I get too excited that sometimes I'm incoherent.
It's okay. Because like puppy that goes left, goes right,
let me show
and
this.
Then just falls over.
Yeah, I go all over the place. So it's like Lynn
Conkey.
So thank you so much for the talk, I guess. It's not much of an interview. This is great, though. Isaac, this is great, and I hope that your business continue to grow. And we're kind of looking forward to maybe working with you sometime. Aaron was mentioning something about doing some massages at your office, and plus it sounds like to me that there's a client that's missing Aaron.
Yeah, I didn't hear about this either.
I'm sure when he doesn't come in, all the clients miss him because he's so nice to look at, but I'm sure some are missing his massage, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. You're going to get him in trouble now.
No.
But, yeah,
hey,
thank you so much.
I couldn't. Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate you having me on the call.
All right, and we'll probably
talk
to you sometime in the future, maybe sometime near the end of the year, and catch up with you, and or have you as one of a panel of guests on our another show. So that would be great, Isaac, if I can call on you.
That'd be great. I would absolutely love to.
Okay, wonderful. The next show, everybody, is going to be with Christy Driscoll. We're going to be talking about post-stress traumatic disorder, and it will be January 29th at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So good night, everybody, and have a pleasant evening.
Good night, everybody.